So, everybody okay? Surviving, doing good? I just want to put this on tape because everybody we talk to asks us this about what our thoughts are, where are we going? We're in, what are we, week 7 of coronavirus, I guess, today. A lot of the states are opening up. State of Texas opened up to a minimum amount. For Nancy and I, the Lord's been real clear. We're to make no changes until the end of May. So we're gonna stay at home just like we always have, or like we have all the last 6 weeks. We're going to go home and stay at home, not have anybody over. We're just not going to change anything until the end of May. And we're not making any plans beyond that. And the Lord will tell us when we get to June. He'll tell us what we can do and what we can't do. So for whoever that interests, that's where our stance is. She'll continue to go to the store every 2 weeks, and otherwise we'll try and stay at home and maybe do curbside delivery every once in a while on food or something like that, but pretty much staying at home and wait and see how this plays out after another 30 days. So that's where we are. But in the midst of the coronavirus, you know, as I've said several times, I really think God is trying to get us to reprioritize the things of our lives. And he's trying to get us to reprioritize our life, get rid of some false idols, do some things like that. That's been my major concern, as I've told you before, is that I don't hear anybody talking about that. That this thing could have been introduced by God, and that he was trying to catch our attention about something. But I really do believe that he is. But this morning I got up and was reading, and I would encourage you to consider this. I'm reading in 2 Chronicles, the 30th chapter. And I really don't know why I was never, no one in my upbringing ever made a big deal of Hezekiah. And in all of my Bible studies, having read through that, it's never really registered with me what a big player he was. But Hezekiah was quite a man of God. In his time as king of Judah, he did some fantastic things. But one of the things he did was to go in and clean up the temple. Look at 29:16. And it says, the priest cleaned up the inner room of the temple and brought out into the court all the filth and decay that they found. All the filth and decay that they found. My other scripture just talks about it being unclean. They took everything they found that was unclean out of the temple. Now, my thought for you, the correspondence here is, you know, the type and shadow, the tabernacle, which then Solomon turned into the temple, but the presence of the Lord dwelt in this thing. We today, we the body of Christ, are the temple. We are the tabernacle. It's God's presence among men. And I'm thinking what's happening today with coronavirus is what Hezekiah did back in his time. It's an opportunity to get rid of all the filth. What was the other term he used here? And decay. The filth and decay that is in the temple of God. All the filth and decay that's in the house of God, this is an opportunity for us to get it out. God has sent us home, put us in our rooms, spend time alone with Him, and to examine ourselves. We have the opportunity to examine ourselves and rid ourselves of anything that's not of God. Now, I can't tell you what false idols you have in your life. I can't tell you what filth you have in your life or what decay. I can only do that for me. But I do know we have a great opportunity. I mean, Hezekiah, the nation of Judah, this is when Israel and Judah had separated, and everyone had abandoned the ways of God. Even the priest had been relegated. You know, the sons of Aaron have been pushed off. The kings told them, you can't worship God the way you do. The Levites, the separation of the priests and the Levites were off serving mankind, worshiping other gods. And there was the total absence of the presence of the living God in the lives of the Israelites. And Hezekiah brought it back. It was Hezekiah that discovered the law.
That was Joash.
Joash. Was that Joash? But Hezekiah really wanted to reestablish the worship of God in his nation. So he tore down all of the idols. Now, a lot of kings had torn down some of them, but he went out into the hills and tore down all the idols. The lot of worship of Baal, Molech, different gods, and he tore down all of those and reestablished the activities of both the priests, who were the sons of Aaron, who represented God, and to the Levitical order, those other ones, in their ministry in the temple. But I think the key was that he destroyed every pagan idol and foreign and altar to any foreign gods. He went through there and did it thoroughly. Now, God blessed Hezekiah in several ways. I mean, he's the one who, he healed him, he extended his life, he caused time to stop, you remember? Hezekiah wanted a sign that his healing was real, and so he asked the priest, and the priest said, okay, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the sun move forward 30 minutes or 10 minutes or back? And Hezekiah said, well, it's going forward would be pretty easy. I want to see it go back. And God moved time back on his behalf. I mean, you know, on the sundial. Major, major events took place in his life. And it dealt with his faithfulness toward God, of the things he wanted to do. My sense is, and I'd encourage you to go back and read and look at this and look at the scenarios of the temple of God today, all of us, and what is the filth, what is the decay that God perhaps might be pressing on in this time that we need to repent of and change our ways. We all know from this very book, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name, if the people of God would humble themselves, pray, repent, and turn from their wicked ways, he would heal our nation. Is that not what God is pressing on us with these? We're seeing plagues, we're seeing earthquakes, we're seeing famines, you know. Could it be that the people of God need to come and repent and change our ways somewhat so that we might see the living God come forth in a true way?
He already did some with sports, entertainment.
For me, I'm thinking those are big ones that he took down. That's what caught my attention that made me think this thing was God. More than that, its impact in our lives, the way it's changing our lives, appears to me that God's trying to wake us up to some things. And it just so happens that I'm reading, this is where I'm at in my daily reading, but it was very meaningful to me that in reestablishing a positive relationship with God, between God and Judah, where God was pleased with what his people were doing. And it's demonstrated in there. If you'll read 2 Chronicles 29-32, I believe is where I read today. It speaks of Hezekiah's time as king and what he did to reestablish God in the hearts of mankind. How he, what he spoke to and what he addressed and the actions he took so that men's hearts might be turned back toward God. And he was very earnest. I'm not saying he did everything perfect, but he was very earnest in his heart about reestablishing these things of God. So my encouragement to you is this. Go read about the types and shadows that God has given us. When there was, if you will, less mercy, you know, that Christ hadn't come and there wasn't the reconciliation between man and God, but the way God viewed mankind then and the way mankind viewed God and what Hezekiah did. But read about the purging of the dwelling place of God, because that's who you are. You are the dwelling place of God. And Hezekiah, the priest under the direction of Hezekiah, went in and dealt with all of the filth and decay and got it outside. Got moved it outside the dwelling place of God so that his character might be seen clearly and purely. And, you know, I've been talking for several months to you about us preparing ourselves to carry the glory of God. Well, that's what Hezekiah did for the temple, the structure back then, the type and shadow of us. He cleansed it, purged it, cleansed it, prepared it to house the glory of God. That's the same thing I'm saying that needs to happen among us, individually and corporately, as the body of Christ. We need to consider purging and cleansing, removing the filth and removing the decay that prevents the glory of God from being seen in the earth in the manner that it should be today. Okay? Thoughts, comments? Yes, sir, Saul.
Before you started, what was he doing before he found that?
What was Hezekiah doing before?
Yeah, before he found that. He found this in the temple or the scroll?
No, he said that was another king. Of the four good kings of Judah, Josiah was one and Hezekiah was one. Joaz was one. Joaz, he actually discovered the scrolls of law that Moses had brought that they had forgotten about. They weren't working with them. Hezekiah just always had been a man of God. And so when he came up as king after his father died and he was installed as king, these were the things he did. He went and wanted to reestablish the worship of God and the order of the kingdom of God in the nation again. They were worshiping pagan gods. They were not worshiping the temple. The priest of the descendants of Aaron had been dismissed by the previous king and told not to practice what they were doing. The Levites, it appears from Scripture, that they were being engaged as personal priests in the homes of some of these people and worshiping pagan gods. Of course, the Levitical priests had always represented mankind to God. It appears as though they didn't care which God it was.
They were servants.
They were always deemed, the Levitical order, the tribe of Levi was always deemed as servants of mankind to serve, you know, to present their sacrifices to whatever God they wanted to sacrifice to. Initially, it was to the living God, but what it came over time was they were sacrificing to false gods. And so Hezekiah brought order, righteous order, back into the house of God.
Okay, you mentioned earlier that you couldn't really like tell us what was in our temple.
Yeah.
What needed to be clean.
Yeah.
But there are some people that are good at telling us.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when they confront me or like they make comments, right? But I don't trip, I just listen to them and I brush it off.
religion will teach us to do that. I've always said, you know, you go lead somebody to the Lord and you bring him to church, and the first thing you want him to do is quit drinking and smoking. You know, the two most prominent things. And there may be a lot. The reason they're drinking and smoking may be tied in something else that needs to be dealt with first. You know, if they're over drinking, it does need to be dealt with. But we would pick what we thought was the worst sin and tell you to fix it. And that's not our role. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will cleanse you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. And that's why I say, I can't tell you. You have to do it yourself. So you have to go ask the Holy Spirit, show me what needs to be purged from this temple. Yes, sir.
One thing I noticed, he was only 25. He was a young man.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of wisdom and to be righteous at that age.
Yeah.
Especially living under the rule of unrighteous.
Unrighteousness, yeah. Clearly, God had his hand on him from a young age to bring him forth to that thing. I just don't understand. I mean, I know the name Hezekiah, but he's never been that. I've never thought of him as that big a factor in Scripture. But he's big. He really is. He and Isaiah worked some together on this stuff, too. But yeah, he has an important role in the remembering and the reordering of worship of God. One of the other things, and I'll just, this is kind of a sidebar. 2003, there was quite a few of us who felt like that the Lord told, in the order of worship, that the Lord told the musicians to sit down and be quiet in order to create a hunger for worship. Worship being more than just music. Religion has reduced worship of God to pretty much singing and hearing singing. When the Scripture says that we should taste and see and smell and feel the presence of the Lord. So worship should arouse all of our senses. But we felt like God told everybody to sit down. One of the things in this was Hezekiah reestablished instrumental and musical worship after he got the filth out of the temple. So my thought is, in my simple ways again, that this worship, musical worship that many people are missing in certain settings will be reestablished when we get through cleansing the temple. And it will not only include music, but it'll include the aroma of God, the hearing of God. You know, it'll have it all. All five senses will be aroused. But it wasn't lost on me that once they got the temple cleaned, in the establishing of the order of the Levitical ministers or servants, some of the things he had them do was bring back up the instruments and start worshiping God through music. Yeah, there is.
One never thought, you know, within
there. So there's our new quote of the day from our man Saul. There's a lot of good stuff in the Bible.
I like it, man.
Good and true.
Start praying more than I used to.
Return to your first love, Louis. Return back to that place where prayer. You know, when things are desperate, when we think things are desperate, we have a tendency to be real good at prayer. And as the pressure relieves, and this was the history of the Israelites too, as things improved, you kind of slide back away from God. And what they had done is actually lost contact with God. And that's what we don't want to do. We need to be, our heart of gratitude and thanks should cause us to want to spend time with God every day, but we allow, I say, filth and decay to come in and divert our attention away from God, and I think that's what he's trying to do. So I think you're very much hearing in the time of the Lord. He wants you to pray more, because he is redefining our priorities, redefining our relationship, intensifying, let me say it that way, intensifying our relationship with him. Okay? So, there's a lot of good stuff in the Bible. According to Saul.